The Buzz on cliffcentral.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to The Buzz on cliffcentral.com. It is 2 minutes after 1 o'clock on Friday, where no people are working officially except us.
All the clever people aren't working.
Yeah,
right?
Well, this is fun. This is fun work.
It's not work for us.
It's not terrible. And when you've got some cool guests hanging out with us in studio, and I know he's on standby and he's loving
here.
The flat.
I'm here, and I just want to say, I'll reiterate, this is not working. This is fun. This is absolute fun.
And you're in a good place. You want to know who this voice is? His name is Graham Watkins. Welcome to the studio.
Jeff, thank you. How's it going, guys?
Oh, very well, and you?
Good. Absolutely amazing. Really?
Yeah, you are. You've just told us you're in a very good...
No, I'm in such a good space. It's actually frightening. I'm scared that if something goes wrong, it's all going to turn toppling down and I'm going to end up in a mental institution.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll happen. Yeah, I know. I think my ducks are in a row and life is treating me very well and I'm very blessed at the moment, yeah.
So... let's start off with the first thing that I really wanted to bring you in for.
Yeah.
Is the new single is out.
Yes, yes.
Love in Abundance.
Yeah, kind of pretty much sums up me in my frame of mind at the moment. Yeah, it's I think a bit of a breath of fresh air from our side as a band. We took about we released 3 years ago. That was the last time we released.
That long ago?
Two and a half years. Yeah. Shit. So, and we took a bit of a sabbatical. Everyone got their lives in order and track and got married and had children and all manner of responsible things. And now that we've sort of come back, we also, when we were away, all wrote independently. And then we came back together and sort of this thing happened and it was just amazing. And we've got a new way of writing and a new way of approaching thing. And we found out with the second album, we took things too seriously. There was like a lot of pressure and people were like, oh, what's it going to sound like? Because the first album did so well.
Yeah.
And the second album, I will admit to it not kind of delivering what we wanted to deliver, but because of the pressure that we were under. Now, we're taking it single by single.
There you go.
We've got so many good tracks in the wings and we're so excited to be back.
So did you feel that sophomore slump then?
Definitely. Definitely.
I wonder what it is. Like, is it just the pressure?
It's just the second album blues. And because you write, you know what it is. The first album, there's no pressure. There's a freedom. There's a self-expression that happens. People hear it for the first time. So it's new and it's fresh. And then you kind of want to relive that. It's like taking the second bout of drugs, if you like. You're trying to chase that high. You know what I mean? So, but you then, I think my wife summed it up to saying, she says, bands take themselves too seriously on the second album, where they didn't on the first one. And it's the first one that brought them to success. Now they want to prove to everyone that they can do it. And in there lies the flaw. So,
and it's also that fear. I think it's that fear that holds you back. And you're worried whether you're going to reach that high again or how it's going to be received
completely.
By fans.
And the fear of rejection, man. You know what? Anyone out there, I don't care if you're in business or if you're in the arts or... if you have a body of work that you've been working on for a substantial period of time and then you give it to somebody else for their opinion, everyone knows that the inside of you is just going, please just like it, please like it, please like it. And if you don't like it, then you automatically start questioning yourself, you start questioning your abilities, you start questioning whether or not you belong in the space that you're in, and a whole bunch of things happen to you. So I think, if anything, I think just clear your mind. For anyone out there who's wanting to do something new and fresh, do it and do it unapologetically and be bold and be brave and don't take yourself too seriously, because therein lies the flaw, I think.
And we become our biggest critic, and I
absolutely.
Think we hold ourselves back.
And we know as creatives that is our biggest vice, because if you look at the guys like, you look at the people that defined generations and eras, you know, the Leonardo da Vinci's, the Einsteins and stuff like that. I mean, those people, I'm sure they were critical, but I'm also sure they allowed themselves the ability to express themselves unapologetically. And I think that is why they were as profound as they were, because they didn't take no for an answer, and they were tenacious and they were persistent. And I think that is incredibly. And if you are, for example, writing music and it's loved the first time around, then that is your formula. People will continue to love you for that reason. And if you change that, then you kind of tarnish your own sound. You tarnish that's what makes you special, you know?
But I think also what's interesting is that you as a creative are always your own worst enemy and your own worst critic.
Time,
but
time.
At the same time, it in the greater scheme of things, you didn't do badly. You know what I mean? You're still here.
Yeah.
So to the general public and to your fans, they were probably like, okay, cool. Well, there's some new music and it might sound like the first album a little bit. Mm. But you were still relevant and you were still around and people still wanted to hear your music and you were still booked for gigs, which means that you were onto a winning formula as it is.
Yeah. So I think that the essence of GWP, which is the Graham Watkins Project, I just like to shorten the GWP. It's way easier to say. GWP, I think there's always going to be that sound, that through line, that thing that which makes us, you know. But I think if you look at bands that I really aspire to, you know, I look at Coldplay, for example. I think Chris Martin is possibly one of the most
genius
musos, and he's a really good muso, guys. I think if you look at him and watch what he does by himself, he's astonishing. Okay, yeah. And that band, they're ever changing, they're ever taking you on a journey. Each album is like a page in a book, man, or a book, and each song is a page in the book. And you listen to Ghost Stories or Death and All His Friends or Milo Zalotto. I'm a huge fan, and I really do invest in their albums. When I buy an album of theirs, I know I'm in for something, even if it's completely left of field. And I think I'm trying myself to embrace that. I mean, I have a body of work at home that I'm currently busy with in a solo capacity. And it's very different to anything that's on mainstream radio. And it's very different to anything that I would necessarily want to put out. But I had a couple of friends come over and they listened to it. And they were just like, this is cool stuff. It's different, you know. So who knows? You know, the future might have a Graham Watkins by himself, and just then the Graham Watkins project, and then the Swing City, which I'm involved in, and anything else that I might be. So, and I'm always open to having multiple avenues to express yourself, because that's the purpose of a creator.
So we could also be in a band with you.
Absolutely. In
the
fact,
Graham
Watkins
Buzz.
What
do
we
Graham Watkins Buzz, yeah.
Play the tambourine.
Well, yeah.
I'll play the triangle. Ding, ding, ding.
You know, that's actually one of the hardest instruments to play. I'm not kidding you. I tell you why. There's a very specific way to hit it, and it gets a very specific note. And very quickly, Matthew Marinus, who's the drummer in my band. So he's overqualified as a drummer, really, and he's a great muso. And he had to do the thing for the Lion King, and in the one section, he's following the conductor, and he's just this whole part is the band, the whole orchestra cuts out, and then there's the triangle thing, okay? But it comes in a very specific place.
And it has to be there,
and if it's not there, it's basically empty.
Oh, yeah.
And Matthew's standing, and he's watching the conductor, and he's really just holding on. He's holding his breath. He's now messed it up twice in rehearsal as well, okay? So now he's really good. And as it comes to the part, he confidently dings the triangle, but he knows that he's nailed it, but you know there's a little gap in the triangle.
Yes.
You go straight through the gap.
Oh no.
Okay. And there is nothing.
Oh shit.
So now, and then the conductor just looked at him scoldingly. Even the oboe guy, sort of the oboist, turned around and looked at him scoldingly. So yeah, each instrument has its importance, is what I'm trying to say.
There's
a
part for you.
I'll just have to make sure that, you know, do it.
And also, like,
the right corner.
To resonate on in the corner, it's quite a skill, hey? I promise you. Yeah.
Okay, I think I'll go practice it.
It's a skill.
So the video, I want to go back to that one as well. That must have been quite fun to shoot, because you basically just lobbing each other with color.
I tell you what, there were moments of definitely where you just wanted to kind of surrender. You were like, okay, I can't do this now, because you think to yourself, cool, okay, I've got to perform now, and then I'm going to be captured in slow-mo and there's dust hitting you. But that dust is so fine, and it goes in everywhere. The very first shot that they hit me with, I had this purple, and it hit me, and it actually stuck to my eye, glued, and then it like went in my mouth and everything. And then we had to do like a bit of a retake and a recce and the eye drops. And after a while, you just can't breathe. You're covered in it. It stuck with us. It like stained our skin, but it was immensely fun. I must say, the positives outweigh the negatives by a country mile.
It's an amazing video as well. Did you get your kids involved as well? Were they? Well, your little one's too little, I suppose.
Well, my littlest one, he's 4 months. Yeah, he was a little bit small. And then I've got my little one, Jude, who's turning 4 soon.
Jeez.
November, yeah. And he was there. He's during the shoot. We did film a little bit, but we didn't actually put him in the edit. But he was having so much fun. Hey? And he's got a lot to do with my current mind frame, because I've kind of started looking at life through the eyes of a child. And that's kind of what love and abundance is. You know, it's about being youthful and about having a life without societal responsibility, like pressures, like having to pay for insurance and having to pay for
being
tax,
adult.
Being an adult, getting a cell phone contract. You know those things, like we think to ourselves, like, oh, it's like, and then we have to live to maintain that. You know what I mean? And that kind of, you miss out on life. And with the slow-mo camera as well, you blink and that second's gone. But you have any idea how much happens in that second?
Mm.
And that's basically what life has become. You know, life is, I can't remember who said it, but life is a line between two dates, and it's what you make of that line that counts. And that's exactly what it is, man.
Sure.
It's exactly what it is, and that's what the video kind of encapsulates, is that you miss all these things, and it looks like just me being lobbed in the face, but when you slow it down, it's like, it's beautiful to be lobbed in the face. You know? So, that is the whole tip that we're on at the moment. It's very esoteric.
Okay, so you said that you have a whole bunch of other material that you want people to kind of be aware of as well. So what's happening? Is there a new album coming?
So what we're going to do, because we're living in the instant gratification era where everyone has an attention span of a GIF
squirrel.
Or a squirrel or a cat video.
Dogs and kids.
I'm just astonished at how many animals, like their videos get a million hits. I'm just like, what? The dog is not actually doing much.
Yeah.
He's just, my dogs do sillier things on a daily basis. I just don't have a camera.
Like, yes. And I'm like, damn it, why didn't I film this?
Yes, exactly. So we're kind of trying to move along with that as well. When you write an album, you have a whole body of work, and it does take a while to kind of craft that, and you kind of want a storyline. But the problem with that is that three singles in, your currency, you're not as current anymore. Do you know what I mean? Whereas you can go single by single, you kind of can allow yourself to be able to be tailored to fit into kind of mainstream. Not that that's obviously the goal, but you do want to be on radio as well as have, you know, those little left of field ones. And we've got songs that we are going to put out there that might not make it to radio, but there are songs that we've kind of engineered to go onto radio, because you do still want, particularly in South Africa, it's really hard to kind of, as a musician, to keep your head above water because the industry is so small. I mean, you guys know you're a part of the industry, and you know that you go to a corporate and you see a band, and you go to a corporate and if you see that band again, you're like, oh,
seen them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas it's hard to stay current. Whereas in the United States, for example, Texas is the size of South Africa, to put it into perspective for you.
Yeah.
So you really are dealing with fish pond versus a fish bowl.
Fair enough.
And you kind of like, you're wanting to keep current, and we are, there's been a lot of interest from Europe. For us.
That's what I was actually going to ask you, because sorry to interrupt you there, but I think whenever I listen to you guys, I hear a festival. I hear European or English festivals that you just want to kind of go to and listen to you guys, because you're amazing performers as well.
Thank you. So we definitely are a festival band. We're big. In terms of when we put out on stage, we put out everything.
Yeah.
Because we believe that, like, we should just go, we always say to ourselves before we go on stage, we're like, treat it like it's your last performance. You know what I mean? Because you obviously ultimately are only as good as your last performance, and then saying goes without, but you do, we put it all out there because we like watching bands as well. And when we see a band, we saw Two Door Cinema Club, and the four of us stood with our arms folded, with our mouths agape, watching a masterclass. It was so weird, like we couldn't enjoy it because we were so awestruck and inspired by what it was that we were seeing. This band was just incredible. And we want to be able to do that. And when we go to Europe, and we're going to go to Europe this year, we want to go to the festivals. And we are a festival band. And when the crowd jump up and down and start sweating with us, and they give us, and it's a give and take. People in the audience, the more you give, the more you get.
Yeah.
And it's from us as well, you know. And there's nothing better than watching people enjoy your stuff, man. It's just the best. And if you lose yourself in your own music, people, they let themselves loose a little bit. It's like having that first drink, you know, you just kind of, everything just kind of slips up, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, cool. And these people in this room aren't that bad and aren't completely unapproachable.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, you've got 10 best friends.
Yeah.
And you're just like, bro, I'm going to phone you in the morning. You might not never talk again, but that interaction was enough to make you remember something. And I think that's ultimately what it is. You want a gig to remember. You want to be remembered. That's why we do it, I think.
And I think what's, again, so interesting is, when did you do Idols, by the way?
Actually, I was talking about with Lloyd Clearly yesterday. Ironically, we did a gig last night
together.
And it was 2000 and... I got to get this right. 2000 and what's?
Was it nine?
Was it 2009? It was. It was season six.
Two.
Six.
Weren't you two?
It was like season six or seven, somewhere around there.
Jesus, there's so many of those.
No, it was season five. It was season five.
Okay.
It was the year when they had the FA Cup. You know, the whole double winner thing.
Oh, that's
the big FA Cup.
That was when
Sasha and
the world first for Idol.
When Sasha and Jason both won.
Yeah.
And then I came second, but never came second. Mm. So I never got like any prizes or anything. I felt really hard done by. If you're listening, anyone from overseas or anything, I want my prizes.
But let's just be honest.
I know what you're gonna say. Yeah. You're right. Absolutely. Losing that competition
was the best thing that
ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And no disrespect, I'm still actively involved in the brand.
Of course.
I go to all the events. I do mentor behind the scenes. But I maintain that I don't think my career would have been allowed, particularly what I wanted to do. I had a very set plan and a very specific way I wanted to go about it, you know. And I always said to myself, like, this is my one chance. And if I don't grab this chance, I'll never have it again. I was a carpet cleaner.
Really?
I'd do industrial carpet cleaning at night. So I'd go into like warehouses and big office blocks, clean, and then I would waiter, and then when the days I wasn't carpet cleaning, I'd waiter, and then during the day I was studying at university, studying theater. So I really had a very active life, but I didn't really see much opportunity. I didn't see myself getting anywhere. Do you know what I mean? I was like in a bit of a, and that was my one opportunity, and I was very lucky to get where I got to, because
I don't think so. I think you deserve to get to where you did.
I think I got through more on personality than on
your personality
on talent,
is great,
so to speak. Because I actually watched a couple of them recorded, and I was just like, jeez, what was going on? I sounded awful. I sang so poorly, and I was singing the covers, and I was just, I don't know what was going on. But then I watched
it wasn't your own performances. It wasn't your own music as well.
But also, I was young
in
a sense, and a lot of it was me trying to, you know, when you're trying to prove something. You want it so badly that you actually sometimes overcompensate.
Yeah.
And then you kind of caught off balance. And the amount of times that I escaped like in imminent voting out. And I think just like, I've got to thank like Bloemfontein. I think because Bloemfontein voted for me so much. I just like everyone in Bloemfontein, thank you so much.
Bloem.
Yeah.
Bloem is winning. Yeah, thank you so much.
We love you,
Bloem.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? There was a fan club at the end of Idol. They were called the G Club. That were my kind of big core set of fans. And I'm still in contact with all of them today. And they're still actively involved in my career. And they've never left me. And they've kind of...
Jeez.
And they're amazing. I'm from from Dawn Haynes all the way down. And they actually have an AGM where they meet together and they celebrate the kind of... I know it sounds...
That's serious.
It sounds serious. It sounds serious. But they are like... And you know what? Like, if they didn't spend 1.50
Who knows where you would be?
Yeah, who knows where I would be?
Because you're only doing music now. Hey?
I only do music. I occasionally I guest star on a show like that.
But I'm saying like
present,
you're not carpet cleaning anymore.
I only do music.
Unless you own the company and then hire people to carpet
thank God, do not clean carpets anymore. I cannot handle the smell of that detergent. If I smell it now,
brings back all the memories.
Oh, mate, I seriously, I cannot.
So we obviously painting here at Cliff Central. So did you smell that Terps and also kind of give you a little?
That's
bit
okay.
Of a,
that's kind of like an. That's right. More like a kind of like a buildy smell.
Okay.
But freshly cleaned carpets.
I must admit, I've never smelled a freshly cleaned carpet.
But like wet, you know, like you also because you get the fiber carpets as well. Like these that we kind of on here now. They're like synthetic, but the smell, once you've done an entire room or like three rooms, and that it's the only thing you smell, wow, it's hectic. Yeah.
You see, you could actually have a DIY show. You could have a DIY show called Carpet Cleaning with Graham Whitcomb.
Well, maybe before. You wouldn't do carpets. All the homes you'd be doing would be tiled because it's over carpet.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I started studying, and before I did the carpet cleaning, I was a carpenter with my dad.
Okay.
And we did, like, we used to do kitchen cupboards and stuff like that. So I'm pretty good with the DIY thing.
So is that why your wife married you?
Because that is why my wife married me. I really hope my wife married me.
You've got a thumbs up there.
So. More for, I really hope she didn't marry me for my DIY skills. You know what they say about strong hands, people. Nailed it. Lol.
Clearly.
Yeah.
My son's here, so I can't say too much about
he's not
screwing
listening.
And
he's,
stuff.
He's
screwing in nails.
Yeah.
You
no,
see what
course.
I did there?
Yeah. Of course. Good one there, Graham.
Yeah, man. So, I think, you know, I was afforded a great opportunity there. And a lot of the guys that are coming out of the show now, the talent last year particularly was incredible. Like the show is also reaching a totally different market now.
Yeah, it is.
And we're seeing a totally different group of people coming out. And my dream ultimately is to see the music industry succeed. And I think if you've got the ability to do it, because I remember being on the fringe for a lot of it, like people going, oh, you kind of won your career. And in a sense, I did, but I won the opportunity to partake in an industry, and I had to fight to maintain
to stay
in that industry.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And I think that ultimately is harder than the show. I was
of course.
That's when the actual work started.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's always been my problem. Again, sorry, but with Idols is that it's a great show. You are elevated to this almost superstardom platform where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
They want to get your autograph.
You kind of get a taste
take
of,
your picture.
Of
and then
potential.
The TV ends.
Yeah.
And then what?
Yeah,
you know, that's where the real work starts.
Completely.
You know? And I think that's why I take my hats off to guys like you, to Lloyd, to Elvis.
Daniel Barron.
Yeah. I mean, you
he's
guys are
great
working.
Stuff at
yeah.
The moment,
he's
sure.
number one on another station that I saw earlier. He put on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's also going to help you. You've had number ones, numerous number ones as well. So, you know, that's where the hard work really starts.
And that's testament. That is testament. You know, when the public buy into you. Over and above the show, and some other people go, I didn't know you were on the show, and then
which
people
is good.
Go, and then there's still people that come up to me and go, oh, I voted for you, and I always say thank you, because they don't know what they did.
Yeah.
They changed the boy's life, you know, and now
completely.
And now I'm fortunate to be, you know,
living your dream
every single day, man. And I'm so incredibly happy for that, and truly am thankful. Yeah.
So quickly, before we wrap it up, the other band that you are involved in, are
Swing
you still,
City.
You're still doing well with them?
I actually did a gig with them last night. Like, that is just great. And just
it's
a lot of interest from overseas for that as well.
Okay.
So I'm really going to have to tie my
with your chip.
My ducklings there. you know, the nice thing about being involved in multiple projects is each one actually, they're not conflicting, they support each other. They allow me, one day, you know, Swing City does really, really well, and then I can concentrate on GWP because I don't necessarily have to worry. I know that that's taken care of. And then the other way, GWP does well, and then Swing City kind of gets nurtured. So it's really nice to have that kind of safety net. And ultimately, as a performer, all you want to do is that, perform.
Who is it again? It's you, Lloyd?
Myself, Lloyd Clearly, Nathan Rowe, and Lois Sobala. So there's four of us, but generally there's only three at a time that goes.
Because your schedules are.
And it is so much fun. And then you can kind of, you know, we've become this like naughty, naughty outfit. And we just talk about rubbish, and we are so cheeky on stage, and people just love it. They buy into it. I mean, I had a lady tell me I had the best bum last night, and then I allowed her to squeeze it, and she was happy, and everyone else in the audience loved it as well.
Oh, cool, man. Shame. You made a night.
She was about 70 years old,
that's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
She got what she wanted,
there's
and
nothing wrong
I got
with
paid.
That lady squeezing your bum.
She appreciated it.
Of course.
Gesture. She had a very, very, very like gentle grip. So
oh, really?
It was nice.
Did she hold it there for a
no.
This poor Tani, shame. Hopeless. Okay, so I was streaming live on Facebook, and Carl White actually got in touch, and he said, what a legend, missed the dude's songs. So Carl will be happy to know that we are going to play your song now, Love in Abundance.
Oh, sweet, cool.
And people are just loving it, you know, they're liking the video.
Yeah, it's been amazing, and thanks to everyone who's been sharing it and just commenting, and the comments have been fantastic, and thank you to all the bloggers as well. We've had really great feedback from the bloggers, and really great feedback from people like yourselves, and thank you for keeping the industry alive.
Of course,
man. And everyone is listening, support local music. It's the most important thing you can do over and above voting.
There you go.
Cheers.
So now you can introduce your song, and then you can go.
This is Love and Abundance by the Graham Watkins Project. Enjoy.
Thanks so much for joining us, Graham.
Thanks, bud.
Lekker having you on today.
Thanks.
Okay, let's have the song playing. There you go. There you go. Come on. Come on. We want you to play. It's going to. There you go.
There it is. Carefully crafted for you by me. Love it.
Cool tune, eh?
It really is.
That's Love and Abundance by the Graham Watkins Project. You can go and get it at Apple Music now and support South African music, because good song, and it's not only South African, it's just good music, you know what I mean? So
it gives me like a Coldplay vibe.
Yes,
it does. Like, I can picture it like you said, like at a festival, or you can be singing it there with Chris Martin. I could totally see that happening. You never know. We'll throw it out into the universe.
Well, listen. I mean, look what looks. Beatenberg.
Yes.
Hanging out with Mumford and Sons.
How awesome.
In New York last night. You know why? Because they have an EP called Johannesburg.
Yes.
And
we went to that concert.
Amazing.
It is incredible.
The best concert I've been to in a hell of a long time.
Hands down, the best concert. Like Graham was saying, you know, they fed off the crowd, you know, it was an awesome vibe, and that's why people actually enjoyed it. And when I read that article about the EP and about, you know, sort of like a love letter to Johannesburg, I was like, oh, thank you so much. We enjoyed you. We appreciate everything.
But you know what's also interesting is that South Africans we love live music and we love concerts, and Johannesburg is doing, we're always on the list for big concerts, and Cape Town is always on the list for big concerts. But another city that is really on the list of not only big concerts, but a whole lot of activity from an entertainment perspective, is the city of Durban. And there's a lot buzzing and a lot happening as we build up to 2022, I think it is, when we get the Commonwealth Games. So obviously the city of Durban is prepping accordingly for that. And that's why we bring onto the show today someone by the name of Kgolo Mthembu, who is going to tell us a little bit more about what is happening on his side, because he's trying to bring Durban to the forefront of what's happening in terms of nightlife. And let's see if Kgolo's there. Kgolo, are you there? Not there. He's there. No, he's not.
I can't hear him.
Where's Kgolo?
Kgolo.
Kgolo. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Kgolo.
Let's try get him again, yeah. Okay, let's try get him again on the line. But I think it's, yeah, there's a lot happening, like I said, in the...
Well, they had the Summers recently in Durban, and that was a hit with everyone there. So it's only, I think it's just going to show that the city of Durban has so much to show off. And like you said, if they're preparing for the nightlife, I can only imagine so. And then, let's be honest, they have the perfect weather. They have the perfect weather to be like the party city for the whole year.
It does. It's always warm and it's always lekker. So, Kgolo, are you there? No. Where's Kgolo? We don't know where Kgolo is. He's coming.
He's coming, or did he take maybe the long weekend off?
Most people have, apparently. So, we don't know what's going on with Kgolo. But like you said, did you watch the Summers, by the way?
I actually was watching the red carpet. That I did look. I didn't watch the whole... I only saw a bit of the snippets and then... read the articles about who's having beef with who.
There he is. Kgolo.
Hello.
Hey, Kgolo, how you doing, man?
I'm well, and you?
Good, thank you. There, we were wondering where you disappeared to, if you were taking a long weekend on us there. So how's it going? How's your long weekend been so far?
It's been great. We've been busy. Obviously, you know, also a lot of people are getting paid, and it is a big holiday, and people want to go out.
Well, I mean, there's a hell of a lot happening. And like we said, Durban is becoming the city of choice, I think, for a lot of things. Chris Brown is coming down for the Durban July. And I think you're also instrumental in kind of changing the landscape of the nightlife scene. So what's happening on your front?
Okay, right now, as you know, we've got the big collaboration with Taboo Group. My nightclub, 47 Avenue, is now under the big, you know, group, which is like I said, Taboo.
Okay.
And that has become big for us as a city and also the province to have a partnership with international, you know, club which has international standards.
So what does this mean? I mean, does it mean that you get a sort of a database of more DJs, more international names, interest from internationals to come into the city and to kind of showcase their products and their brands in your club?
I think the what it means for me is the first and foremost is the experience. In Durban, you don't have a five-star club. And, you know, we've been failing to get your higher LSM consumers frequenting our venue. So with having a partnership like this, we're going to implement those standards and make sure that we can cater for such people. And obviously, you know, from the security side, we're going to beef up the security and just make sure people are safe, because now we're attracting a lot of people from out of town and a lot of people from the taboo group database, and they have to make, we have to make sure that all the time they have the five-star experience and also they feel safe in our venue.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, and we have to bring it up, yes, because obviously what happened in the States over the weekend with the Orlando shooting, security is becoming, yes, a massive, massive issue for us. So, you know, it's good that you as a club owner or someone as an entrepreneur and a businessman take security, mm-hmm, first and put it on the highest list possible. You know, make sure that, yes, your patrons are happy, sick, having a good party and safe and sound, mm-hmm, at the same time. So that's a, yes, big one. Good one. So, mm-hmm, now the Durban July is happening soon. And, you know, yes, you, again, you've had the Sama, I don't want to say Sama drama, but you have all the people from the Samas coming down to Durban, to the city to experience, yes, it. You've got the Commonwealth Games, like I said, building up towards, yes, that. You've got the rugby, mm-hmm, games. You've got the soccer. Mm-hmm. There's a hell of a lot happening in Durban. There's actually a triathlon there this weekend, which I can't participate in. But I'll tell mm-hmm, my triathlon friends that they must come and hang out with you afterwards if you open on Sunday. Are you open?
No, I'm not open, Sandy. We are operation.
They're not going to like that, Holo.
You know, you're right. We've got everything now. Everybody's coming to us, all the awards and all the big events.
So what's happening for the July? Do you have major plans?
Okay, for the July, it's, you know, we're kicking off a great calendar from the Thursday night. We've got First Thursdays, which is popular in Joburg. And on Friday, we've got Mafikizolo all exclusive party, and Saturday, you know, we've got another after party from the July, and we're also doing the after party for the Opulence Marquee, which is Dalez's first marquee.
Okay.
So the after party is coming to us, the All White Opulence after party is coming to us. So
yeah, you see, even Dalez is going to do
it on Sunday as well.
Sure, that's going to be a massive one, because Dalez always
has to be there. You have to be, have to make sure pretty guys in my VIP.
You see, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay, Kholo, so where do we find you on the social networks, just so that we can keep up to date with what's happening with you?
Okay, myself is Kholo Daguru, KGOLODAGURU. That's on Instagram and Facebook. And 47th Avenue is 47th Avenue, the number 470H Avenue DBN.
Awesome.
So that's on Facebook and on Instagram.
Perfect. Sounds like an account that we really have to follow, and we will do exactly that after the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Enjoy the busy weekend. I'm sure it's going to be slammed with lots of, yes, fun parties and everything in between that. So enjoy it. And we'll catch you in 2 weeks for the July. Eh?
Yes, thank you very much for having me, and looking forward to see you guys.
Man. Awesome, Laka. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers, man. Bye. Okay, so we've got Cassius King coming onto the show in just a bit, but let's carry on with the music for a bit. This is Mumford & Sons with Beatenberg and Baba Mum. So a friend of mine lives in New York. I have a couple of friends who live in New York.
Oh, lucky you. You
they
know,
just don't want to give me a job in New York. Assholes. But they, she was actually hanging out at a concert in New York, because, you know, everyone always goes to New York. And I keep saying New York because if you put it out there, then maybe it will come.
If you repeat it out enough times, it's going to come.
And she was saying that Baba Mills, Beatenberg and Mumford & Sons were all hanging out together on stage. He called Marcus Mumford called them out on stage, and they just jammed. Amazing, yeah?
It is amazing. It's actually, you're almost like awe-inspiring. You're just like, okay, can't believe it.
Exactly. Okay, so local music, we continue with it. Cassius King, welcome to the studio.
Hello, how are you guys?
Very good. Well, and you?
Very good.
So what's happening? How's the long weekend treating you so far?
Very good so far. We've dropped my debut single, so everything's popping right now.
So, okay, take us through that process. You work long and hard, yeah, to get to the point where you're ready to birth your child, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's been a 2-year process.
So 2 years?
Yeah, man.
How do you know that this is the perfect time to launch it?
It feels right because you waited long enough, you know.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I suppose you're also eager to get it out there.
Oh, yeah. It's time to eat.
So what do? Do you go to all the stations? Do you put it out on Twitter? How does this launch actually happen?
Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. It takes a team. Like, to get stuff out there, especially nowadays in this industry, you need a right team behind you. And definitely got the right team. We've got it on all social media platforms. We've got it, like, yeah, we did it right.
Okay. So 2 years it took you to get to this point. Now it's out. It's called No Breaks. We're going to play it in a bit.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the single.
Well, the single is just one of those come-up singles, man. It's it really embodies the stuff I've gone through in the last about year, I'd say. And I just had to put it out in one track and just throw it up. So I did.
Are we allowed to ask you what you went through?
A lot of, you know, disloyal people that you come across in this industry. A lot of people inspire you in the end. That's what it looks like. You know, that's what it becomes. But in the moment, it's pain, it's struggle, it's all of those things, you know. And you just got to make it through it.
So you have?
Absolutely.
And you're in a better place now? Are you happy now as well?
I wake up every morning ready for my day.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So where is Cassius King from? Tell us the origins of...
All right. I was born in Minnesota, northern USA. Grew up in Malawi in South Africa. My mom's Liberian. That's West Africa. My dad's Malawian. He passed away in 96, though. Okay. So, yeah.
Sure.
I'm a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Global citizen.
Exactly. It's a global citizen.
And I grew up speaking French, just a little addition there.
There you go. So
an American accent with French background. You can speak English, obviously. You lived in Malawi? Have you been to Malawi?
Yeah, I lived there for about 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So does that also influence your sound and your music and the way that you approach your musical career?
If anything, it more like influences just kind of my lifestyle, my personality, because that's about as humble as it gets, you know? Like, it's very peaceful and boring down there.
Is it?
But yeah.
I think it looks like such an amazing country.
The beach does. Well, it's technically a lake, but it's got that lake, beach, you know, feel to
that's
it.
That's your beach, yeah, because it's all landlocked, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Eh? How often do you go up there?
Haven't been able to for the last like 3 years since I've been like back in SA. There's no vacation time, man. Like it's been grind, 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 so I can go on long-term vacation. But yeah.
Okay, so that's the new single's out. Well, the first single.
Yes, sir.
You obviously have a big body of work that you are kind of putting together as well.
Oh, yes.
I can see in your eyes. You are ready to release this out.
Yeah, man. It takes patience, but once you get over that hill, there's a confidence that comes from knowing that you took your time with stuff, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So when do you think those will roll out?
They'll roll out. Well, let's see how, you know, this wave flows, and then we'll keep. But first four singles, at least for you guys, are already sitting in the kitchen. So
wow.
Yes, oh, wow. Sir.
Okay, I'm gonna try find this. Where is it? It's in black and white, apparently. And I want to play it.
Let's do it.
We're trying to find it, so that you can introduce it as well. There it is. There. Do you want to introduce it? Cassius?
Yes, sir.
A first time player.
This is No Breaks by Cassius King with DJ Chris Beats, SA's number one hip hop DJ. Let's have it. Cash on with No breaks, no breaks, no breaks. I don't know how to talk that.
Okay, the platform is yours. How do you feel when you hear your song?
That feels amazing, man. That is a really fulfilling feeling right there. Absolutely.
It is cool. It's like I said, it's like birthing your child. And now everybody's out there, you know, you've got all your critics, you've got all your fans, you've got all your friends, your family, all listening to this.
Absolutely.
So what's the response been like so far?
Well, everyone's just like, they call it something special. And I mean, it came from a special place, so...
Sure.
Yeah.
Special. That's good.
Yeah.
and the working with Chris, how did that come about?
Well, that's been in the works for a long time. You know, I've known him through a friend of mine, and we've kind of discussed it for a minute. And this was finally that record where we brought it together, and he's been a part of the creative process with this record. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now what's the plan from here?
From here, no breaks.
Just keep going.
Perfect. Yeah. Are you shooting a video?
Yes, we are. On the 22nd of June, we start shooting, and that's going to be with Studio Space. Week. Yeah, we don't take our time with these things.
I was going to say, you don't mess around.
Just the music.
Okay, so what's the sort of the thinking around the concept and the creative with the video? Are you allowed to just give us a little sneak peek? Come on.
It's going to be a different kind of video. I think everyone's a little bit tired of seeing the flashy and seeing, like, it's time to redefine hip hop a little bit and give people a little something more. Because, I mean, we don't live that life every day, you know. So something that connects with people a little more, something that they least expect listening to trap.
Okay.
So that's what we're going for here.
Do you feel like hip hop is a little bit stagnated at the moment, or?
I feel like it's misunderstood. Okay. I wouldn't call it stagnating. I think a lot of people see it from a different, like, kind of perspective, and they don't understand the full picture. So there's always this conclusion made before they see it. Personally, I don't like every phase it's gone through, but when you have a kid, you know, just because they're going through the terrible twos or whatever, it doesn't mean you just, you know, put them outside like Flintstone style. you watch them through every phase, and hopefully, if you're blessed enough, someday you get to actually make an impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your impact? What is your legacy that you're hoping to leave behind in the hip-hop industry and beyond, I suppose?
Only looking backwards I can answer that, though.
Okay. Yeah. But you got plans.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Like, there's no sleeping on this. When you want it for so long, you think about it a lot.
So where do we find you on the social media?
I am on Facebook, Cassius King, K-A$HIS King, of course. My Twitter is at TheCassiusKing, T-H-E-E. My Instagram is Cassius_King011. And we've got a website up, of course. That's Cassius-King.com. But yeah, that's about it.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Buzz today, and thank you for bringing your music and for debuting it here as well. We appreciate it, and
absolutely.
We appreciate your hard work as well. So all the best.
We look forward to the video.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
So bring us the video. We'll play it on our website, Clip Central, and then you'll have another single for us at the same time as well.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, so we've got Gensu is hanging out in New York City at the moment.
I know, look at you.
You see, it's just everywhere.
Green.
It's like taunting
you
me.
You are turning green.
I know. Let's have a listen to what Jen's been up to.
Hey there, Jason and Nikita. I'm in New York City this week. And of course, there was a lot going on in the city at the Beacon Theater, where the 70th annual Tony Awards saw Broadway show Hamilton winning 11 awards, including Best Musical. And the Broadway community really did a fantastic, heartfelt response to the shooting in Orlando. Over to Hollywood with some gossip, Calvin Harris sending a raunchy pic of his what has been making the rounds all over Twitter. It's already been a bad week with him getting burned publicly by photos of Taylor Swift and her ex-boyfriend, British actor Tom Hiddleston, in each other's arms. Calvin quickly unfriended Taylor off all social media. And congratulations to actress Mila Kunis. She's pregnant with baby number 2 along with hubby Ashton Kutcher. Hollywood's hot couple married last July and are already parents to 20-month-old daughter Wyatt Isabel. And that's what's hot and happening from New York to Hollywood. I'm Jen Su for The Buzz. Now back to you, Jason and Nikita.
Wait, so did Calvin Harris have a little bit of a dick pic?
Yes, he did.
Oh,
apparently he did. And also, if you remember a few months back, he was also seen walking out of a Thai massage salon or something like that. Like, I don't know how many dollars for one of those awkward happy ending indie massages. So, you know what? I think he's being a little bit of a big baby with this whole breakup. He broke up with her, apparently. So
I don't know so much about that. Maybe he broke up with her because she was cheating on him.
Well, you know what? I'm sure he was doing something as well on the side. He's not perfect, guys. Nor is T-Swift.
Yeah, but she swiftly moved on. Let's be honest.
Those
pictures that are on, what's it, The Buzz? Or not The Buzz, The Guardian
TMZ?
Or some whatever. One of those sites.
Them on the beach, canoodling on the beach.
That doesn't look like it's a new relationship. That looks like it's been going on for quite
it's
some time.
It's actually going to introduce him to her parents.
Yeah, this is like...
Well, you'd want to introduce... Well, listen here. I'm all for Tom. I actually really do enjoy him. Come on, it's Loki. How can you not want to be with Loki?
He's weird, man.
I don't think he's weird. That British accent has me for days.
Okay then.
Can't complain about that.
Okay, fine.
I'll win this round.
Okay.
And I'm sure a lot of the ladies will agree.
Well, tweet you. Tweet
well,
me.
Well, they can tweet me. Yeah, I can see it. Hot Nikita, and just let me know. Do you actually feel that Tom Hiddleston is actually is he the god that he plays in Thor, the bad boy that everybody loves to hate? Or you think that Taylor Swift should actually move on again very swiftly to the next guy? Or who should she be dating
next?
Well,
who is she going to date next?
That's
because
what
she's
I was
kind
thinking.
Of dated Hollywood.
Like, who else is there? She's done the whole One Direction thing.
She's done the Twilight. No, she hasn't done the Twilight. Yeah, she
oh,
has
she did.
Done the Twilight
she
thing.
Actually did.
She's done them.
It's like, what are the franchises they're coming out that she can be a part of?
Ghostbusters.
But it's all female cast.
So?
Oh, there we go.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you never know with Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
With a girl squad.
Hmm.
Or she could be on the prowl with Gigi Hadid, because Gigi Hadid is also single. Zayn Malik and her broke up. And apparently they're back together on and off. I don't know. I can't keep up with these people.
Jen can keep us posted with what's happening there. I'm sure she's going to go to the BET Awards. That's happening next week. So let's see if our Jen Su will be out in LA hanging out with the likes of AKA. And I'm sure Bonang will probably be going to LA as well.
Of course she will be.
Who else is going? Do you think Casper's going to go?
I don't know.
MT, maybe he will. It's going to be interesting to see who's all performing out in LA next week, but I'm sure Jen will bring us up to speed. And are you busy this weekend?
I think so. I don't know. I think everything's up in the air. We'll just take it as it comes.
Yeah, I guess we might see you next week. We might not see you next week.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think we'll see you next week.
Okay, if that's your money, I also don't think so.
We might have to Skype you.
Yeah, we can do that.
We'll see how it goes. I think things are about to change. But thank you very much for joining us on The Buzz today. And Nikita, have a good week and a good, have a good, see you soon.
Thanks, Jess.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.